We're not walking away and leaving you holding it back. Either we're all out or we're all in.
This is the Extra Hot Rate Podcast, episode 447, week of February 20th, 2023. I am forgetful gray-haired man, David T. Cole, and I'm here with cocktail metaphor, Sarah D. Bunting.
Orange, you going to Google me?
Mega church pastor, Tara Ariano.
Praise him.
And geriatric pregnancy, Crystal Farmer.
39 is still young.
Welcome to Extra Hot, great for another week. Joining us for the second time, she is the co-host of the 2 Cents Plus Tax podcast. It's Crystal Farmer. Ooh, hello, Crystal.
Yay, thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you back to talk about The Company You Keep, in which, after messy breakups, Emma, Catherine Haina-Kim, and Charlie Milo Ventimiglia end up drowning their sorrows at the same fancy hotel bar. Their flirting is so sparky that they end up spending the next 36 hours together. Seems like a solid foundation for a relationship, except that Charlie is a second generation, at least, professional con artist, and Emma is a CIA agent investigating a crime boss that Charlie's family just ripped off. The show's based on a Korean series called My Fellow Citizens with an exclamation mark, which I love. My Fellow Citizens! And was developed for ABC by Julia Cohen, who has previously worked on shows including Riverdale and Quantico. Only the first episode has aired so far. We got the second as well. We'll be vague about spoilers beyond the pilot. Let's do the Chen check-in. Crystal, should our listeners watch The Company You Keep?
Sure.
Sarah?
To my surprise, also sure.
Dave?
Yep, I'm going to say yes as well.
Oh my God, me too. I was so surprised by how charming
it was. We are all in.
This virtually never happens with a network show. And let's get into that. Because Crystal, the first time you were on last year, it was to discuss another one of these that revolved around crime. I feel a lot less guilty about having made you watch this than I did about The End Game, a show that people who worked on it probably no longer remember at all.
It's the kind of show that would be a real life Home Alone. You know what I mean? Like somebody ended the show, didn't tell Kevin. Uh-huh. Kevin's still in The End Game trying to figure it out.
Well, we did hear Mark Damon Espinosa, who was on Jenny and Tori's podcast, talking about it because he was like a secondary lead and he was still speaking about it in the present tense. It's like, no, dude.
Oh, bless.
Anyway.
We're shopping it around.
We all know network shows have content limitations. Why is this one more successful in the ways that it works within them than The End Game was? Crystal, start us off.
I think it's just the acting. Like, mm-hmm. I think the casting is really good. And as soon as I saw, like, the main cast, the people playing Charlie's family, and Charlie, obviously, I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Even if it's not, even if it's still tropey and, you know, you've seen a lot of the things before, I think they're still going to give it something special. And I think that really helps. I mean, I was trying to think when I was watching this, like, what is the deal with Milo Ventimiglia? Because I think this is the first property of his that I've ever seen. Like, I didn't watch Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch Heroes. I didn't watch This Is Us. But somehow he's just, like, always been in my brain, like, for some reason. And this is the first thing I've ever seen him in. And now I'm like, oh, I get why people are into his deal. Like, he is very good at that kind of, like, charming rakishness. Mm-hmm. I think having that, like, kind of crooked smile thing really helps, especially with a role like this. And, yeah, I think it's just the acting. It's just very – it's better than it needs to be, I think, for, like, a network TV show.
It doesn't hurt that the show also isn't as complicated and silly as The End Game was. Like, it is sort of a straighter – cops and robbers show than The End Game was, with like, and now we're going to rob 20 banks at the same time. And there's I don't know what the hell was going on in that show. But this is much more grounded and much more relatable and much better acted than that was.
For sure. And it's a heist show, which is so fun. Let's go to Dave next. We've watched a lot of those. You know, Money Heist, we've talked about, obviously, in the past. But we've certainly watched a lot of heist movies, especially in the last few years. Talk about that aspect of it. Are you concerned that they're going to run out of cool things to do for these characters?
Well, if you got a premise and you are confident in it, you'll find ways, right? Like Poker Face. Very high concept rule book to Poker Face. Probably a few more needless rules than they need to for a show like that. But they're making it work. It's still entertaining. So I think where there's a will, there is a way. But also, I think it was also ABC, but this show put me in the mind of Whiskey Cavalier. Whiskey Cavalier? That was more of a straight spy show. That was heavily on the spy stuff. And it was obviously very expensive because they're shooting in Europe. But it was like, it was sort of like, okay, we're going to do Moonlighting, but they're also spies. And they kind of, like, I like that show for a network show, much the way I like this show. And I thought they were sticking to their guns and they were pretty confident in the type of show they were doing. It's just that nobody else is watching. I feel like this one has a better shot just because it seems like smaller set stories are more successful on network television. Like, you don't get the disparity between, like, oh yeah, we can shoot in Europe, or we're going to cheap out and everything else to do so kind of thing. Right. Whereas in this day and age, Netflix is like, sure, we'll do, you know, like, yeah, you can have $10,000 a second as your budget kind of stuff. So there's something relatable.
Yeah.
But like, everybody loves a good con, right? Like, later on in the show, we're going to talk about another con show. The most entertaining parts of those kind of stuff are always the most Ocean's 11 elements of it. And this has that. Sometimes, anyways, right? And there's a good chemistry between the two leads when they're hooking up and all that. So, yeah, it just seems like it's a network show that really plays into the strengths of network television, which is it's not super serious. It's not taxing. It is definitely something you could either engage with fully or it could be your second screen TV show and you're still going to get as much out of it. So I just feel like it's just a really good formula for a con show for a network and one of the few things on network TV that seems to be like working for me lately.
Well, Dave already said where there's a will, there's a way. And we do have a will here and it's William Fichtner. So Sarah, speak on that.
No,
because he still got it.
Oh my God, he does. Bunt nip forever. I think Crystal is right on that this is like 90% the acting and that it is so much better than it has a right to be or that you're expecting. And looking at this cast, like people keep coming in like stage left, dropping some exposition effortlessly, and then just like swanning off into the next scene. And I'm like, was this pitched as like an AMC show? Because it doesn't like, it doesn't feel like network, and none of the acting, it's like they don't know they're on a network show. think, or like they think they're, and I liked White Collar and I watched the whole thing. God help me, but like that, it's not a USA show. Like, they're, everyone's acting as though it's prestige TV, which is somehow turning it into prestige TV. And also, I never like Sarah Wayne Callies. It's not her fault, but I never like stuff she's in. So I saw her Five Head and I was like, well, shit, there goes nothing. And then she was good. Like,
she's
they
good.
Act like siblings. These are written like actual adult siblings by people who have siblings. So it, like, everyone is just really charming. There's some funny lines that you don't necessarily expect, like the whole like those bitches at NASA thing. Catherine Heinekem is really good at acting drunk, underrated skill. And I just was like, I maybe at first was enjoying it because I didn't expect to enjoy it, so the lowered expectations were carrying it for a while. But then, like, I don't think I had to watch the second episode that we had, but I did.
Same.
Because I was like, I like these people. I want to hang out with them. And what if William Fichtner unbuttons his shirt slash takes it off? And, you know, there was some content for people like me.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I've watched every type of show that's like this. I thought Whiskey Cavalier and Leverage to a certain extent let themselves be limited by where they were versus Sneaky Pete, which was just like, well, we're on Amazon? So I guess we'll do some swears?
Yeah.
And that was also like a family of cons with a high concept. But I think this really works because they are just like, we're all very charming people. Here's this story. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And there's no, it's like not super complicated. There's no Illuminati yet. I hope they don't do that. yeah, it's just a straight ahead and it's not that serious. Like Dave said, you can second screen it or first screen it. Doesn't matter. Perfect show to knit in front of, I can tell you firsthand.
Yeah. Crystal, it seemed like you were especially agreeing about the family casting.
Yeah, I my notes, I had noted that both Milo Ventimiglia and Catherine Kim have really good chemistry, but then I also noted that they have, that Sarah Catley's and Milo Ventimiglia have really good sibling chemistry.
Yes.
Which I think is really hard to get right, especially when the siblings are of opposite genders. There sometimes it can get a little uncanny valley there.
Yeah. We all saw Brothers and Sisters.
We sure did.
Are still mad about it.
I think they really sort of nailed it, at least in this first episode and in the second one as well. Like, I think they just really have a good, I think one of the keys to like really good sibling sibling chemistry is being able to banter and really feel like, oh, they're actually joking with each other and it feels right and not like overstepping too much or, you know, one person's always needling the other. Like, it goes both ways with siblings. Like, it has to. And yeah, I just think that really, they did really crushed it with the casting. I also, too, Sarah, was kind of like, oh no, when I saw Sarah Callies in this, just thinking of her from, you know, what they did with her character in The Walking Dead, which I only watched like not very much of that show, like the first season and a half. But
yeah, it was, and just that was like, part of why.
It was rough. So I was like, oh no, I hope they give her more to do than just be a drip. And they do. So yeah. I was like, okay, that's nice for her anyway. but yeah, it was good. I in my notes also have typed William Fichtner and then 5 exclamation points. So I kind of knew that it was going to be a big deal, that we were all going to be very pleased to see him. Although they are sort of seeding the ground with some potential plot elements for him going forward, where there's a moment, and I underneath that an original note, something happens later in the episode, and I just typed, uh-oh, because you kind of know where they're going with it. But I still think that they handled it really, like, deftly, and it wasn't sort of that information that we find out about his character wasn't deployed in a way that felt, like, awkward or, like you were mentioning, Sarah, like, the exposition is so natural, like, in the conversation that it doesn't feel like you're getting these people hitting you over the head with like, oh, here's all the backstory you need to know, and okay, we're priming you for like the future episodes or whatever. It just felt like this is real. You're just watching people actually talking to each other about what's going on in their lives. So
yeah
it was good. I really liked it.
The other smart thing in a heisty story like this, if you have a character where you're like, he might be starting to lose it but we're not sure, then he can be like Carl Reiner in Ocean's 11, where it's like it sets an expectation and then they subvert it with you know, a future op that they do. And so, you know, I think that's one good Steven Soderbergh reference. The other is that bar seduction scene is like straight out of Sight, and when they started to do it, I was like, oh no, but then they do, they pull it off. Like, if you're gonna steal from the best, you have to steal it perfectly, and they did. Like, I have not seen banter like this on a network hour-long drama. I can't remember the last time. Like, they are so sparky and, like, you know, that's the word I already used, but they're, like, so fun and sexy and, like, they really like each other. And then he walks away and she's like, wait, what? And then he gets like, all of it is so well done. Like, it's better than it needed to be is exactly the way to put it, Crystal. You're so right. Anything else we need to talk about other than that Felicia Torella's Daphne is really sexy and I hope that she and Sarah Wayne Callies make out? Because I feel like that's maybe where they're going with that.
I mean, there is maybe a little eye Frenching happening in a couple scenes. I thought maybe that was just wishful thinking. How do we feel about the sideline with her family, Emma's family, and like the run for senator and all this stuff? Like, I think it's really well observed, but I also found myself a little impatient with it because it wasn't heisty yet.
Yeah.
What did everyone else think?
I don't know that it's like the thing that I'm the most interested to see happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine. They have to give her character some, you know, shading. She can't just be, I'm a CIA person and then not have like a family, because one of the things I think that she and the Charlie character sort of bond over is kind of being the like kind of fuck up or like yeah. the kind of out the sort of outcast of the family mm-hmm. where they're like, okay, well, we have this one kid who's like, they got it. And the other one's like, okay, well, I made some mistakes, or I'm just like doing something different than the rest of the family is doing. I'm just sort of rowing in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a thing that they seemingly bond over. And so I get that they're sort of trying to flesh that part of her story out, and it makes sense. I don't want her to be like one dimensional, mm-hmm. but also, yeah, I'm not as interested in that as the sort of everything that has to do with her in relationship with Charlie. So.
Yeah.
I think they're doing well enough with everything else that you can give them a little leeway to see what they're going to do with it, right?
Yes.
I'd be a little more impatient if they didn't do such a good job with all the other parts of the puzzles.
Totally. And speaking of faith, our friend Doug Savant as the crooked megachurch pastor.
Oh, that's who it is. Oh, yeah. I couldn't place him. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Melrose's own gay Matt now fleecing people or laundering money or whatever. Mm-hmm. God bless him. Good for him. We love to see them book in the 20th century. I mean, 21st.
I was a little concerned when I saw Bridget Regan, and then she is a shithead, and then she's gone. So, yep. Thank you. Sorry, Bridget.
True, although the fact that they cast her suggests that she'll probably be back. I think she's like on the tier where she'll return in some capacity at a future time. But
I'm sure she will. But for now, I'm enjoying the casting against type sort of that. Mm-hmm. This was such a pleasant surprise. I'm actually a little mad that it's not streaming and that we have to wait for new episodes. But it's good. Recommend. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, it's time to go around the dial talking about something we've been watching on TV recently. First stop is with Tara.
Well, I went back to visit my family in Canada for the first time in 7 years. And so I wanted to report on some of the TV that I watched in my hotel room. Because as we've talked about before, there's a kind of pleasure in hotel TV where like you don't know what you're going to get. There's a limited number of channels. You just have to settle for something that if you had more choices, you would never, ever, ever land on. And I had a mix of some stuff that I was pleasantly surprised to see and some stuff that was like, well, I guess this is on. So first of all, the unabashedly good stuff. Happy Endings on CHCH, the local Hamilton TV station. Yep.
Well played, Hamilton.
2 episodes in prime time on a Thursday. They're not shelling out for current television. They're rerunning shows that lasted 3 seasons half a decade ago.
Wow. Love it.
One of them was the introduction of Max Greenfield as an Adam Pally love interest. Love that for me. Love that for the show. Mm-hmm. It's great. There is a cable network in Canada called the Aboriginal People's Television Network, and they show Northern Exposure at midnights on weekdays.
Okay.
Thank God. Like, someone should be doing that here. I get that it's not streaming because of music rights, because there's tons of old songs in it, but it's a good show.
And Northern Exposure was streaming now. Didn't they just recently put it up?
No, it's not. The first episode that I saw the first night I was in the hotel was in the first season about Soapy, a resident of the area who had a sore hip. He was a crotchety old curmudgeon. Also gray-haired, also with a sore hip, ending his life as a hermit in a shack in the middle of nowhere, and much like gray-haired, forgetful man William Fichtner in The Company You Keep, it reminded me of someone we all love to know named Dave. And then the next night, it was the episode where Elaine, Joel's fiancée, comes to visit from New York and has a terrible time because there's a flu outbreak, and had a dream sequence of him being back in New York and starting to figure out that maybe he was not supposed to be with her, and that was great, too.
I actually just saw an episode of Northern Exposure on streaming. It was the episode where Joel goes to the cabin and Marilyn is there, and they're talking about how they, if you cross the river of death, you'll die. I mean, don't you remember this?
Dave, no.
No?
Different Joel.
Oh.
That was The Last of Us. Okay. And then the other shows that I just put on because I wanted to have the TV on and they were available. Love It or List It, Vancouver. Definitely the more inferior entry of the Love It or
List It
franchise.
Are they still making new ones?
I think so.
Wow.
Anyone who spends $1 million on a bungalow in Vancouver that is probably three quarters made out of rotten wood deserves whatever happens to them. There, I said it. When my sister came the second last night I was there, and we had a sleepover, and she made us watch the first 48 on A&E. So that gives you an idea of the kind of person that she is. She loves those shows.
Bless.
One other thing that's showing in syndication, Sarah, OG Degrassi, Joey Jeremiah still in high school, Degrassi, oh. But I decided not to watch that. Instead, I watched Bones, which is the ultimate hotel television show.
It really is.
The plot doesn't matter. It's so poorly written. You need to pay attention to about every fifth scene, max. The set of the Jeffersonian looks so stupid. It's like no one works in a lab that looks like this. Ceilings that are like four stories high. I know Emily Deschanel is doing a thing with her characterization of Bones, but also the fact that she has not really worked since suggests that she might just be bad. Sorry. That's Bones. This is more Bones than I ever watched in my life, because there's a channel also that has sprung up since we left the country called CTV Drama. And it's all shows like that. The nights that Bones wasn't on, it was Chicago PD, Rock Block. Ugh. Also, so many ads for online casino apps, and also PSAs for if you have a problem with online casino apps. Anyway, bottom line, I shan't be staying at this hotel again until they get more channels, or at the very least, the guide channel. This is so key for a hotel. They didn't even have a little laminated thing that said what the channels were.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, truly, in order to be a livable hotel, you need at least TBS and preferably also TNT. I am not a crackpot. I mean, TNT you can't get in Canada, but TBS you definitely can. So if you're a Patreon member, get on that Discord. Tell us what your requirements are for hotel TV, because I know you have them.
Good. Yes.
For my plug, Listen to Sassy, our sister podcast, does a monthly watch-along on Zoom of a piece of content that was actually out to the public in the month of the issue that we're talking about. And this week, we're going to be watching two episodes of Designing Women. That is this Friday, starting at 9 Eastern, Friday, February 24th. Listen to sassy.com/club to join and then get all the info for the watch along. And one of them is the episode where Julia gets her head stuck in a stair banister. And that's not a spoiler. It's the title of the episode. So if that's something you think you might want to enjoy with me and Dave and fellow Listen to Sassy listeners, listen to sassy.com/club.
All right. Oh boy. Let's try that again. All right, Crystal, what do you have for us?
I think I should sign up for the Listen to Sassy Club, because whenever I think of Designing Women, that episode with Julia's head in the banner is like one of the two episodes that comes to my mind.
I told Tara when I was a kid in elementary school, there was a recess, and for some reason we were like crawling around on the soccer field, and at the edge of the soccer field, outside the bounds, there was like 5-6-year-old trees, you know, still kind of spindly, you know, they're going to be mighty maples one day. So they had like the metal bar next to it to keep it straight, you know, strapped on. And I was crawling around, not really looking where I was going. And I got my head stuck in between the trunk and the metal bar, and I couldn't get it out. And then the recess bell rang, and I was out alone with my head stuck in between a pole and a tree. And all the other kids are like, well, see ya, bye.
you live here story. Now.
I had this vision of like, you know, it was like 1 year later, it was just a skeleton right next to this tree. Like, well, who is this person? What happened? Anyways.
They didn't make an episode of TV about that. They should have. So I have been watching the show Hunters on Amazon Prime. Well, I'm watching the second season because it just came out last month. The titular Hunters are a group of people in 70s, I think it's like 1977, New York City, who hunt Nazis who are living in America. They are like a bunch of different types of people. The sort of leader of the group is a man named Meyer Offerman, played by Al Pacino, which is like one of the reasons I was interested in this thing. Show.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So he plays a, like, we'll say he plays a Holocaust survivor named Meyer Offerman, who is basically, he's the one who bankrolls the entire sort of organization. Him, and then there's like a nun who's like really good with guns, and there's this married couple in the first season played by Saul Rubinek and Carol Kane, who are like incredible pairing, who are like really good with like munitions and tech and explosives. And then you got Josh Radner's in there playing like a weird, like C-list sleazy actor guy, which is kind of funny. But he's like the disguise man. And then you got like a Black Panther and a Vietnam vet. And initially they also had an older grandmotherly type, also a Holocaust survivor, who was kind of like their reconnaissance person. You know, being an older woman, she could kind of like follow people and surveil them, and no one would pay attention to her because older women are invisible.
Yep.
And so at the beginning of the season one, she is killed, and her grandson, played by Logan Lerman, sort of finds out about her sort of secret life in this group and kind of is, you know, welcomed into it. So while you also have the sort of Nazi hunting going on, there's also a thread where there's I think she's an FBI person played by Jerrica Hinton, who's investigating both the murder of Logan Lerman's grandmother, but also the string of German immigrants who are, you know, turning up dead in New York and different places in the East Coast. And there's also a string, a thread of a politician played by Dylan Baker, who is seemingly very patriotic, very conservative, traditional man who's working in the U.S. government, but he's also not who he claims to be.
You're saying Dylan Baker role?
I know, it's very hard to believe. He's always playing someone on the up and up. Never, ever questionable.
Always what you get on the tip.
I think they're really doing a good job with this second season. I'm only like, there's only 8 episodes and I'm like halfway through, but I think they really cleaned up some of the things I didn't love in the first season. One of which that was that like all the episodes were just like way too long. I feel like if you're a streaming show and you're a drama, like you don't have all those strictures on how long your episodes can be. So you should, if possible, err on the side of shorter rather than longer.
Yep.
Like, some of those episodes were like 60, 70 minutes. And I'm like, this is unacceptable. Like,
I'm going to also give Prime Video credit for having short seasons, too. They love an 8 episode season. And most of the time, that is plenty.
Yep. It's true.
But yeah, Hunters on Amazon Prime. I think if you're like interested in seeing what if they put Al Pacino in a TV show and let him be Al Pacino, this is a show you want to check out.
Great.
So, yeah.
What do you have to plug?
Oh, yeah, I do have a podcast also, like all of you. 2 Cents Plus Tax. It's just a podcast I do with my friend Caitlin and my friend Toshio. And it's just, it's about pop culture, but it's also just a place for us to talk to each other every week. We started it during the pandemic and we're somehow still doing it, probably because the pandemic is still going on. I don't know if you guys know about that. But yeah, it's really fun and it's very silly. It's not very serious. We somehow, for some reason, every single episode, we kind of end up talking about Madonna. I don't know how that happened.
Okay. But
it's not good.
Madonna knows.
Yeah, she does know. We have a lot of opinions about what she's up to. But yeah, it's if you want to check it out, we're on all the socials at 2 Cents Plus Tax and our website, 2 Cents Plus Tax Podcast.com. There's also a Patreon if you want to help us defray the cost of hosting and also transcripts. We provide transcripts for all our episodes because we want to make it accessible if possible. But yeah, you can check us out in all the regular places. And also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Humblecore. Not as many people doing that these days. I don't know if you guys have heard about what's going on with Twitter, but
yeah,
I'm still there. I'm going to be a bitter ender, I think. So yeah, if you want to check me out on Twitter, you can do that as well.
All right.
All right, Sarah, what do you have for us?
I have The 12th Victim. That is Showtime's latest entry in the true crime documentary space. I'm always encouraging people to check out Showtime's documentary offerings. This may be an exception. It's not bad, but here's the background. It's a four-part series. It's about the Charles Starkweather / Carol Ann Fugate case of the late 50s, and specifically about how Fugate's role, if she really played one, in that notorious murder spree, like how we may have been thinking about her in the wrong way for over half a century, the stunting effects of what was functionally the birth of true crime TV around this case. Our esteemed colleague, Blankenship chair sitter, Mark Blankenship, liked it a lot better than I did, but his review for Primetimer actually is a better use of your time than watching all 4 hours of the docuseries itself, because Mark manages to boil the filmmaker's central thesis down in a way that they're not able to. And that is because this is yet another, this is a 2-hour feature in a 4-hour series bag problem. Much like 2019's Lorena, which was about Lorena Bobbitt, The 12th Victim does expand and deepen our shortcut, quote, knowledge of a major case. Fictional versions of Fugate, particularly Sissy Spacek's terrifyingly blank Holly in Badlands, have always tended to focus on Fugate's damage or bad seed status. But the fact is that this was a child. She was 14. Starkweather was only 18 himself, and had cognitive delays. He was executed in 1959. I have no doubt that he did what they say he did, but I also think the conversation about his sentencing is a little different today. The director, Nicola Marsh, gets excellent access to relatives, friends, historians, authors, contemporary footage, and has a point of view and something to say, but there is this like nervousness to it, like a just a kitchen sink way about it that's a little bit tough to take. You can't always tell what is contemporary footage and what is a skillfully shot gauzy reenactment. There's a lot of like sort of pointless 3D-ifying of still photos. There's audio collages that are not necessary. There's chopping up the frame in talking head interviews with the mirror effect to reflect the fractured nature of the et cetera. Do you get it? Like, it's just over-directed and twitchy. And Marsh is an experienced cinematographer. They've shot notable work in the genre, like The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez and The Innocent Man, among several others. It's not a skills problem. It's just that 2 hours of content and a 4-hour tube sock issue, like I said, and Marsh is just trying to fill the tube sock. I have watched the first two episodes, which are both a full hour long, and I have read Mark's review, so I feel that I am all set. But my fuller review of those episodes will be at my True Crime Review newsletter, bestevans.fyi. That will be on Thursday, so tomorrow, as you're listening to this. We'll also have a number of other true crime reviews, including a compendium of Hollywood murder cases that I'm reading right now that is so poorly written, but also so obliviously enthusiastic that it almost comes back around to, like, not good, but I kind of can't stop reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's and so anyway, you will find out more about that and the numerous sentences that were murdered in the creation of that book at bestevidence.fyi. That newsletter is free most weekdays, so please come on through. We would love to have you and hear from you in the comments.
I want to talk very briefly about the opening episode of Picard Season 3, the show that always starts off with something you're like, yeah, okay, all right, and then by the end of the season. And I just want to say, I'm just putting this out there. This episode wasn't super great. Neither was it super terrible. But I'm just going to say, and this is for the showrunners of Picard, current and past seasons, I will not get fooled again. I'm tempted just to wait until the end of the season to find out if they actually had their proper Next Generation reunion that they promised, or whether this is going to be, as I suspect, one character comes back each episode on a drip, and then like they don't really ever have that TNG moment where they're all in the same ship, they're all doing crazy shit for the last three episodes or something like that.
Yep.
I don't know. I have my suspicions that it's going to be more of a drip, drip, drip thing. And that used to be what you would expect from television. Like, if you ever got people coming back at all back in the day, would be something like this, where it's like Ted Danson comes back to Frasier for one episode, but you never really have the whole Cheers gang back kind of thing. Whereas, like, I feel like pop culture now has embraced, like, let's just do the fan service thing and go crazy. All three Spider-Mans in one movie? Yes. You know, let's do it. So this hesitation, I just want to say that's on you, Picard the Show. It's not my problem. You made this happen. Bring on more Strange New World, the superior Star Trek show, yes, for sure. All right. Anyways, we'll see. I'll report back at the end of the season, but I think I would be perfectly happy just kind of like letting other people take the bullet in this one, and they can tell me. Mm-hmm. If it's, we'll do reverse EHG on this one. Yeah. All right. Next, coming up on the next extra, extra hot grade, on the heels of The Last of Us, we take a stab at adapting that other critical darling video game, Ball Sort Watercolor Puzzle.
Yep.
You all know this game, of course. Certainly yep. Tara does.
Yep.
And we also have a fifth bonus episode this month. It is called Zabkalootly, in which we put Zabka, he of Cobra Kai, into his next project. Catch all of that on the Patreon feed. Go to extrahotgrate.com/club to join today and get those perks. And then right here on the next EHG Prime, we're talking about the new revival season of Party Down with Mr. Mark Lazanti. Don't miss that. It's time for the extra hot great canon. Guess who we have this month? I think you'll figure it out.
Hi, everybody. Mademoiselle Caroline here, presenting Leverage the Nigerian Job. And my question today is, are you a fan of fun? I will assume the answer is yes. And Leverage is fun. Basically, it's the 1840-aughts, except with less machine guns. The concept of Leverage is a modern take on Robin Hood. Professional criminals use their expertise to screw over big corporations that destroy people's lives. It may seem like pandering to some, but I personally believe it has a cathartic quality. This episode is the pilot, so it's a bit longer than a regular one, but I think it's quite successful at establishing the characters and the stakes. Here are a few points I'd like to make. First, the cast. The casting is excellent. The chemistry works. But let's start with the contentious presence of Timothy Hutton, who was revealed to be a total creep a few years after the end of the series. Now, we are glad he doesn't seem to get hired anymore. However, there's no denying he's a good actor and a credible mastermind who loves when a plan comes together. Continuing with the A-Team analogy, the Dirk Benedict part is joyfully played by Gina Bellman. She plays Sophie Devereaux, grifter extraordinaire, who's only amazing at acting when she's not on stage. Let's hear a clip of her legendary introduction into the show when she's supposed to be Lady Macbeth.
All right, let's go get Sophie. The hell's a Sophie?
Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts. Unsex me here and fill me from the crown to the toe, topful of dirt. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse that no.
She's very awful.
Is she injured? In the head.
Seriously, man, this is the worst actress I've ever seen.
This is not her stage.
Then you have the hitman, played by Christian Kane, who I am sad to report was not to cut his hair until the very last episodes of the series. He has great chemistry with the character of Hardison, played by Aldis Hodge. Aldis Hodge is the greatest. He's sexy and handsome and an excellent drama actor. But thanks to Leverage, we now know that he excels at comedy as well. Some may think the man is too handsome to be credible as a computer guy slash hacker, but I say, why not? Age of the geek, baby! To this winning lot, we can add the presence of in this pilot and in a few other episodes of the great Saul Rubinek. Number two, For a pilot, to use an extra hard gradism, it's not too piloty. The exposition is fun in this episode, as we see exactly who the characters are thanks to short, fun flashbacks. They are mostly visual gags, except for Sophie's flashback, and of course Hardison's.
No, 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 no. No, hell no. This equipment is total VH1, bruh. It's best of the 80s. I got something nicer.
All right, no surprises now.
I've been doing this since high school, bruh. I'm Captain Discipline.
They came straight from the airport and up to their room.
So you never actually saw any of them then?
But the credit card number's checked out.
Break it down! Does that look like Mick Jagger to you?
This is not the room you're looking for.
The pilot is structured in three parts. First, there is the original heist, where loners have to try to work together for the first time as a team. Then there's a passage where they get to know each other after being screwed over by Saul Rubinek's character. And finally, the last part establishes the conceit of the series, which is when we see the con to take down an evil CEO. Number three. The whole objective of Leverage is to entertain us. It doesn't have anything grand or important to say, but when they are well done, these types of series are important too. They are bombs in this chaotic world we live in. Leverage might not be realistic. The takedown has a sort of a Scooby-Doo flavor to it, but I'll reiterate, it is F-U-N fun. Let's celebrate that it is good entertainment, well made, on a basic cable TV budget. So, what do you say, team? Let's steal a canon entry.
Thank you so much, Caroline. Crystal, you chose this from our list of submissions. Please start us off.
First, I did not know it was a Mistress Caroline submission, so I'm very pleased to have chose that. So this is a show that I obviously knew existed, and I feel like it was on for a really long time, way longer than I expected it to, but I've never seen an episode until now. I didn't mean to sort of choose something that was so similar to the, like, lead topic, but...
No, it's thematic. We meant to do it.
I mean, I think it's useful, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm here for, yeah. But yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about the sort of Soderbergh and Ocean's 11 of the company you keep, but this was even more that. I mean, not just with the, like, actual heistiness, but, like, the music and like the different, you know, characters playing different roles. It was very reminiscent, let's say, of Ocean's 11. I mean, and why wouldn't you want to be, right? One of the best movies ever. I was really actually quite surprised by how much I liked it, and also surprised by the fact that I didn't see the like third act twist coming. I mean, I don't know if maybe I'm just like bad at watching these shows all of a sudden, but I was like, oh, that's quite clever. And I was glad to see Saul Rubinek, who I also mentioned earlier. I did not expect him to come up so much in this episode, but it was good to see him get his comeuppance. I agree with Mistress Caroline about Aldous Hodge. Obviously he's become a much bigger deal since Leverage, but he was good here immediately. Like, as soon as he came on screen, I was like, oh, this is a guy you want to, you know, follow. He has that charisma. He has really good sort of rapport with all the other characters. I wasn't as, like, into the way that they wrote the Parker character, I think is her name, the blonde.
Yeah.
It was very, like, mid-2000s, right? Like, oh, she's manic pixie dream Parker or whatever. I was like, okay, I guess she's, like, taking off her shirt in the elevator and she's, like, quote-unquote weird. It's like, why? She's perfectly normal. She's not doing anything weirder than the other people in the cast.
I didn't have a handle on her either. There's one scene where, like, they do flashbacks for everybody, you know, so you get a flavor at the start. And her flashback is, I think, she killed her family over a teddy bear.
Yeah, exploded the entire house. I didn't understand what was happening.
It needed something else in that scene. Yeah. It was was a play for laughs? Like, I didn't really get it. But she's not, like, you say manic pixie girl, but, like, I think they're trying to sell it as, like, she's, like, a sociopath, but it never plays like that.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a weird little, I'm not quite sure if they were successful, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of it is the way she was directed. I think she's doing something a little bit different than the other characters are doing, and it's not working as well. But I, you know, again, I think that all the characters have really good chemistry together. The character, I forget the one that's kind of the henchman, the heavy.
Elliot.
Elliot.
Yes, he is fine. I mean, I mean, we kind of learn, like Mrs. Caroline said, about some of the outside exploits of these actors. And you're like, okay, well, good. I'm glad that this isn't happening anymore. But also, I was like, why is he so haggard in this show? Is it supposed to be like that? But I think it is. But also partially, I'm like, maybe that's just his deal now. I don't know.
Boy, that's some bad head of hair on that guy.
Yeah.
Like, there was this spinoff, I think it was from the Flintstones, where there's a band called the Gruesomes, which were sort of like the Beatles meet zombies kind of thing. And he looked like he could have been a live-action Gruesome. His hair was not doing a favor.
I thought it was going to be like a plot point. Like, they were going to mention it or something. Yeah. It was going to come up, and it like never did. And I'm like, oh, no. I guess that's just his look. All right.
But even for the time, that wasn't really in.
It wasn't. In 2008. I don't, I mean, it was much more, it looked kind of, it reminded me of Billy Ray Cyrus. That's not fair. But it kind of did. And I was like, oh, this is tough for this guy.
Careful what you say. He's a listener.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Really, really respected. Did a lot of like boot scooting to that in middle school. But yeah, no, it was a really fun episode. And to sort of Sarah's kind of canon criteria, it definitely made me want to like watch the next one. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I want to see what they get up to, because they get up to many years worth of shenanigans. So I'm like, what happens next? The Timothy Hutton character is like, oh, what we do is we provide like leverage. And I'm like, oh, he said it. He did it.
I turned
the Leonardo DiCaprio meme for a second.
That's like, Stan Lee. Yes.
Yeah. But it definitely made me want to keep watching more. Do I think it's like the best example of like this type of show? I'm not sure, but I would be interested in watching like more Leverage to see how this pilot like stacks up to what the show eventually becomes. Right. So
I'll go next, because I want to jump off from what we were saying about the Parker character. I feel like in that case it's a casting problem. Like, if you had someone like an Aubrey Plaza type in that role, I can see it a lot more. Or like, you know, what's her face from Bring It On? The other
Eliza Dushku.
Yes. Eliza Dushku. Like, someone, I don't want to just say this actor, this character is a brunette, but I do kind of feel that way.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's something about that little, she's such a cutie pie. And I guess that's part of like the subversion, you know, of what they're trying to do with that character. But she was not it for me. And the reason I'll also add, the reason, Crystal, that you might have thought this was a more recent show is that they did revive it as Leverage Redemption minus Timothy Hutton.
Yes, and it's Noah Wiley, right?
Noah Wiley is the new Timothy Hutton, and then also Aldous Hodge didn't come back either, but apparently his foster sister is the new hacker. And all of the rest of them were like, sure, I'll do more of this. Why not? And I get it. Like, I think calling this like the A-team for the aughts, I think that's actually a perfect way to put it. Like, I get the appeal, and it is fun. I didn't see all of the twists coming, but I knew that they were going to come in the third act. And it was like the biggest surprise was that like Nathan, the Timothy Hutton character, like does not see through the job offer initially. And they sort of get around that with like, well, you're an honest man. He's the only one who was like, and the rest of them are just like, we don't care, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be a virtuous job. We'll just do it, which, you know, has its appeal. And I do think that as much as he is a terrible person, Timothy Hutton is good in this role. His chemistry with Sophie, I thought, was believable, although they did lay it on quite thick for a pilot. Like, we can see that they're going to get together eventually, or it's going to be moonlighting, whatever. Like, relax.
This time you're really in my head.
I know.
Can't apologize for that.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, unfortunately for the timing, I probably would have rated this higher if we hadn't also watched The Company You Keep this week, because that's like the good version of this. Like, the writing is so, it's so overdone. Like, do we have to do the, like, there's something wrong with you callback about Parker? It's like, this is such like shitty Marvel writing, which I know it wasn't in 2008.
The
but
Chirons that self-correct themselves multiple times.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's a little, you know how they do punch up? There was like a quirk up. yes. on this pilot. Yeah. Somebody had to do a workout.
Kind of. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
And that's a great note about the music, too. Like, this is definitely trying to remind you of Ocean's 11. And, like, all of that said, I don't necessarily think it's canon worthy, but I wasn't mad to watch it. And if this came up, this is, I mean, perfectly dovetailing off the hotel TV conversation. This would make great hotel TV. Yes, Dave.
I just wanted to go next because I only have one more point that I haven't already inserted into the conversation, which is I agree that this is F-U-N. No arguments.
Yes.
But it's also like H-O-T-E-L-T-V. Yes. Like, it's, like, it's good and it's fun, but it's also unremarkable in itself. Fluffy. Yes. And it's there, and you watch it, and maybe you'll have another one after.
Yep.
But, like, it's all very derivative.
Yeah.
There are parts of it that are poorly written. There are characters that are on the screen a lot that are not very well defined, at least at this point in the series, in the pilot. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make a canon-worthy pilot as well.
True.
Because you are moving so many pieces around the board.
Yep.
And you are dealing with characters that you will grow into as an actor. For me, the most obvious indicator of that is when you watch an animated pilot where everybody sounds a little weird and different. You know, they're not quite, they haven't quite settled into their characters.
Yep.
They're all like 50% of where they end up.
There's like a hair on the screen.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So this sort of felt like that for me. Like, I wasn't mad at it. I had fun and I enjoyed sort of the light. ...ness of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was very blue skies-y.
Yes.
And I wasn't mad at it, but also, like, it's nowhere near canon worthy for me. But, like, those two things don't have to coexist in order for it to be, like, you know, fun. F-U-N.
The one other thing that I'll say before we throw it to Sarah to finish this up is, like, at the end when they're like, we provide ... leverage. It's like, the show knows what it's doing, too. Like, I feel like I need to clarify. I get that they know.
Yeah.
They know it.
Yeah, I got a clip of that coda, so let me just play.
I'm going to fire all my wives and buy new ones. Maybe pretty ones this time. Kurt Bango.
Congratulations. You finally learned how to get proper leverage over someone, haven't you?
Leverage from a man animal. All right, that was Battlefield Earth. That wasn't leverage, but I wanted to play that clip.
Like, what's happening? Oh my God.
All right, Sarah, close us up.
Oh, geez. I'm completely disoriented now. I agree that this is classic hotel TV, but I actually think that watching this in the same episode where we were talking about The Company You Keep, like, benefited its presentation because I think where this episode is a canon perspective Viking is that it's not too piloty. Like, almost every note I took was like, the parts where it is piloty, it knows it's being piloty. And the parts where it's not, like, I don't know if the editing stayed this, like, zippy and confident, or if this was just, like, proof of Soderbergh concept.
Right.
But, like, there's this one moment where, you know, Sophie and Timothy Hutton are eye-fucking, basically, and then she leaves the frame, and then Hardison rolls into the frame on his desk chair.
Yes.
And then just keeps rolling by and is like, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, like, little moments like that that I really appreciated that didn't have to be in a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I noted that as well, but I wanted him to keep rolling all the way out of frame, which he didn't.
Me too.
He stopped short, but I take your point. Mm-hmm. I did think that was cute. Go on.
Yeah. He's sort of at the edge of the frame, and you're like, oh, just keep roll
going.
Right past. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe they tried, and it just, after like 14 takes, he's like, a wheel fell off this chair. Do we keep going?
Sure.
Given how many things are, like, not terribly credible or not quite working, this is really kind of a miraculous pilot that is much greater than the sum of its parts, and that sort of, like, gap between what this should be able to do and what it is able to do as a result, I think makes it worth considering if that is canon worthy. Granted, this is, like, generally a, like, very middle B hotel TV show, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I did admire their D.B. Cooper episode, more on which anon.
Yes.
You know, like, little lines like Hardison dies in Plan M and then an elevator door closes. It's like, that's very expected, but it's also done with enough brio and, like, deep understanding of the timing required that I respect it. Timothy Hutton is a problem. Absolutely my most shameful crush of adolescence, which I just would like to rewrite that for myself. But I can't unsee Turk 182 all the 78,000 times I watched it.
I know. I thought the same thing where there's like certain angles where they show him and it's like he's the cutie that he was in the early 80s is still in there, unfortunately. Yeah.
And then you remember.
I know.
Yeah, but I'm really not sure how I'm going to vote, but I just wanted to say that I appreciated that this was a focus of Mademoiselle's presentation, was that for a pilot, especially for a basic cable pilot, featuring this, like, Parker is just like clank, that it's like the square wheel on the shopping cart of this. But at the same time, like, I think it knows that Timothy Hutton doesn't have really any sense of humor about himself or his character. It's probably like that guy who came in and was like, and I think his middle name is this. And the writer's room was like, we already got paid, so whatever, Brett.
Right. As a nod to our game time last week, he definitely knows this character's zodiac sign.
Yeah, I mean, look, my husband did this for his character on Loving, and I was like, oh, Orson, huh? Okay, I mean, whatever it takes, actors, but, you know,
do you.
Bless your hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, and, you know, like, Parker, it's not the actor's fault, but they're just trying to do something that I completely agree. Like, yeah, I think you do need a brunette or just a different blonde who's not selling the lines out as much, and that Christian Kane could karate like a bunch of Albanians with guns and then walk out of this corner bar on the set like no problem. Like, even the show is like, well, not really, but we're also not going to show you what happened because we don't buy it either. Like,
it doesn't matter. Yeah,
a show that is confident but also knows that it's an 84 out of 100, like, I don't know. Like, there's something to that. That's like, thank you for knowing already that you're hotel TV in the first hour of your existence.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a delight to watch. And it was a delight to think about. And I guess now we're going to vote.
All right. Let us do the official vote. Crystal, you're up first. What do you think? Do you want this in the canon or not?
I was thinking about this less as hotel TV and more as like, would I mind watching this if I was like home visiting my mom and she was watching it? Like, how would I feel? And
same,
I think if
same
I,
Wayne.
Yeah, if I watched this, I think I would be like, that's fine. I didn't hate spending that 45 minutes or whatever it is. So I guess I'm going to vote yes, because I had a good time and it did make me want to watch more. So sure.
All right, Tara.
I agree with you, and yet I think that standard is too low for me. So I'm going to say no for the canon, but God bless Mademoiselle Caroline for continuing to expose us to these shows, because I probably will watch it again in the future. I see that journey for myself. What circumstances that is under, TBD, but again, probably in a hotel. Dave.
Sure. Yeah, no. Again, I'm not mad at it, but I don't think it elevates itself to canon status.
Yeah.
Sarah, all right, so you're officially off the hook as far as getting it into canon.
Yeah, that's true. So, and I could vote yes to be a kiss ass if we had a hotel TV canon or a canon of like pilots that actually do this job better than you'd expect,
you know,
from X show
a
that's
idea.
A B.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't yet. So for this canon right now, not quite there. Mm. So it's a no from me.
All right. So that means, unfortunately, Leverage, Season 1, Episode 1, The Nigerian Job, although FUN wasn't quite canon worthy, you are not inducted into the extra hot great canon.
I'll reiterate, FUN.
All right. On that note, we also want to, before we get into winners and losers, put out a call for more of your canon submissions or your no-neck submissions. We've been doing a lot of user submissions lately. The coffers are getting a little low on submissions. So if you're interested in putting your choice to the test, go to extrahotgreat.com/submissions, where we have instruction on how to submit and also guidelines about what goes into and canon submission and how to format your clips and all that kind of stuff. So once again, a call for your canon submissions, extrahotgreat.com/submissions.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for the winner and the loser of the week. I have this week's winner, no surprise, Poker Face, renewed for season two. And on this occasion, I have a suggestion about how to make that happen. This is a little EEHG-ish, but let's just roll with it. My suggestions for season two. We're going to film now, before season one officially ends, a coda for the last episode of the first season. And in this episode, Charlie gets conked on the head in this post-credit scenes and magically loses her lie detection powers, which I think is the weakest part of the show and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's a crutch, I think, for the writing. I don't think they need it to make the show what it is. I think it's a little extra. So then what happens in season two? Charlie's On the Lam triptych takes her across Canada, and she deals with Canadians and Canadian crimes for one season. And while in Canada, because they have trouble getting people over the border, you know, and all that kind of stuff, Frost Casino hires a Canadian hitman duo to track her down. And this is played by, and we're going to borrow a little bit from a future EEHG as well. We're going to put William Zabka in there. He's doing a great Canadian accent, and he pairs up with Colby Smulders, transforming her Stumptown energy into something a little darker.
Yep.
They're the team that goes after them. Now, they have handlers that are go-betweens between them and Frost, and they are played by Catherine O'Hara and David Suzuki.
That's perfect timing, because he's about to retire from The Nature of Things.
He's going to have some time. So that's season two, Poker Face.
Can I also say a very Canadian heist?
Mm-hmm.
Maple
heist? Maple Reserve heist?
No, close.
Oh, okay.
Cream eggs. There was a cream egg heist. There was a Cadbury cream egg heist.
Wow.
This is true.
Sure was.
Sweet. Literally.
They were not all recovered. Yes.
No. And we're already seeing the effects, because my sister, when I was in Oakville, asked me to get her some, and I could not find them anywhere. They didn't have them at Superstore. They didn't have them at Circle K. They are just can't be
They're
had
evidence.
For love nor money. That's right.
They're the best evidence. We actually did talk about this last week.
And a loser of the week?
Loser of the week. BJ Novak, he had a FX on Hulu anthology series called The Premise, which I talked about on Around the Dial the week that it came out, mostly saying this is bad and it should not continue. And FX/on Hulu agreed, apparently, because they have very belatedly canceled it after its first season, which, P.S., one too many seasons, by the way.
Speaking about being bad and possibly not continuing, do you know what time it is?
Time.
Oh no, it's game time.
All right, welcome back. This is just the second game time of the current season. Tara won the first game. Everybody else today looking to get on the board. Today we are playing a game from our good friend John Potts, a.k.a. Potsy. Though, in the submission form, he put Potsy is fine in that field. So I guess also a.k.a. Potsy is fine is his new name. Today's game comes from Potsy is fine indeed. It is called Re-Role-Playing Game. It's a sequel to his role-playing game. This is the Actress Edition, which nets Potsy an extra credit topic of their choosing. I'll remind you how this works. Can you identify an actress from their five most popular roles as defined by the number of episodes according to IMDb?
Okay.
I will read you the first show. That is the show they had the least episodes in that is still over the number 10. Answer there, you get 5 points. 4 points for the next one. 3 points, 2 points. If you answer on the fifth show, the most popular show, you get 1 point. So inverse point system.
Okay.
After I read you a show title, you can either ask for the next show or name the actress. You only get one guess at the actress unless you use one of those two free guest coupons you'll find in your welcome bag.
Oh!
You may choose to use a coupon to continue the question after a wrong guess. You have to let me know you're using that coupon. There is a way to get more coupons, but I'll explain that when the opportunity arises.
Wow. The Calvin Ballinization.
It's not complicated. I don't want your fucking emails. Okay. Last week wasn't complicated either. Just different. Shows may be live action or animated, but the fifth show, as I mentioned, is always a minimum of 10 episodes.
Okay.
Also, where an actress has appeared in several shows in a franchise, let's say something like Star Trek, as the same character. Only the highest show is listed. So if they were in a lot of Star Treks and a lot of Voyagers and a lot of Enterprises, we're only going to do the one they were in the most of. Okay. No steel mails today. Let's throw it to Piggy to see our order.
We will start with Tara.
All right, we're going to go Tara, Crystal, Sarah. 18 questions, one Grossworth Equalizer challenge zone.
Oh, shit. Oh,
wow.
Are we ready to play re-roll playing game actress edition?
Yes.
All right, here we go. We will start with Tara. I'm going to read you the first show. You either ask for the next hint, you take, or you take a stab at the answer.
Got it.
Is the actress here. All right, their fifth show, 31 episodes, Stargate Universe.
Next.
43 episodes of The Single Guy.
Oh, is this... I'm just going to... I guess I'll go for it. Is this Ming-Na?
It is.
Nice. Wow.
So that is 4 points. You didn't have to use any of your coupons, but here's how you can win more.
Okay.
Guess at the next three. For each one you get right, I'll give you another coupon.
Okay. ER?
ER is one of them.
But it's okay.
That's fine. You just have to name them. Three
okay,
guesses.
Okay. Shit.
I'm going to let you know there's one less than ER and there's one more than ER.
Oh, she was on like some other medical show. Is it like, I don't think it was Grey's. Was she on like The Resident?
Not one of the shows.
Okay. Was it Grey's? Grey's Anatomy?
Nope. Shows we're looking for, As the World Turns, 79 episodes, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 136
episodes.
Oh,
of course. Right. Of course.
There were that many episodes of that
Adding one coupon to your total, Tara.
All right.
I will track your coupons.
I'm tracking them, too.
Okay. Crystal, your first show, 16 episodes for this actress, Misfits of Science.
I don't think I was even alive when that was on, so next episode.
The next show, 19 episodes, Family Ties.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no. So this is, I'm much better at things where I name a property than an actor. 19, next show.
All right, this is a good hint. The next one with one more, 20 episodes, is Dirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it Courtney Cox?
It is Courtney Cox, yes.
Okay.
Two shows. Beyond Dirt, a lot of episodes for these two shows. Can you name
guess,
them?
One of them is Friends.
That's the top.
Oh, Cougar Town.
Cougar Town, 102 episodes.
Nice.
253 episodes for Friends. So you gained yourself two more coupons. So now suddenly you can start guessing a lot more in the future.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sarah, Big Bang Theory, 16 episodes.
What's her name? Bialik.
Incorrect. You're going to use
coupon.
Your coupon? Coupon. Fancy Nancy, 19 episodes. Fancy Nancy, a show I did not know existed until this
Nor did
moment.
I.
Fancy Nancy. Name the actor or ask for the next hint.
Next hint, please.
Happy Family with 22 episodes.
Oh, this is not who I thought it was.
Next hint.
Sybil, 87 episodes.
That's a good hint.
Baranski?
Baranski for 2 points. Name the top show they were in.
Oh, and I have to... It's a franchise one, right?
Yeah. Which one were in the more
The Good Wife.
Yes, 156 episodes of The Good Wife.
Well done.
So you earned yourself another coupon there. All right, back to Tara.
Yep.
Who has three coupons now.
Correct.
Robot Chicken, 19 episodes.
Next.
24, 20 episodes.
Ooh. Next.
The Education of Max Bickford.
Oh, fuck off. next.
Longmire.
Oh, my God. Longmire.
Long may she mire.
Yeah. Is this? Oh, I was about to say a person who is not an actress. I guess I'll have the last hint.
All right, for 1 point, Battlestar Galactica.
Well, that could be fucking anyone. I don't know. I guess I'll roll the dice and say Katie Sackhoff.
That is correct. One point. No chances for additional coupons there. We're back to Crystal. Your first show with 13 episodes is Prey with an E, not an A. Prey as in, I'm scared of everything.
Next show.
Smash, 32 episodes.
Oh, God. What is her name? Okay, the next one, just so I can be sure.
38 episodes of Mysteries of Laura.
Oh, is it, oh my God, the person that Tara hates. What's her name?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, man.
You can picture her. You're seeing her right now.
It's the hair and red and Deborah Messing.
Yeah.
For 3 points. All right. There's two shows that she was in more than Mysteries of Laura, 46 episodes and 246 episodes.
Okay. Well, 246 is Will and Grace.
Yep.
I don't know what other shows she was in that aren't Mysteries of Laura or Smash.
You got one coupon.
I'm not going to pull it.
All right. Anybody want to take a stab at that other one?
I mean,
Jack
it's not.
Ned and Stacy.
Ned and Stacy is correct.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think there was more of that than Smash. Damn. Good job, Sarah.
All yeah, right. It should have been.
Sarah.
Yes.
The Flight Attendant, 16 episodes.
Next.
Monster Allergy, 31 episodes.
Next.
Harley Quinn, 37 episodes.
Next.
8 Simple Rules, 76 episodes.
Now remember, we watched that one.
Yeah, oh God.
Who was in that you know?
We sure did.
One more show.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, I know who it is. I'm just having trouble pulling the name. I can tell you her character on the number one show, I bet. And also she was on Charmed, I believe.
She was at the end. We watched that too.
Commercials.
You know her name. You know it. You're picturing her right now.
I'm beaming it to you, Sarah. I'm beaming
including
it to you.
That little shrug that she was wearing that horrible episode.
Oh my God! Yes.
Oh my God! Help! Help me, universe! Hear my cry. Oh my God! I cannot pull the name. Of Penny.
All right, gonna need next hint or an answer.
Next hint.
Big Bang Theory, 279 episodes.
Uh-huh.
She knows her. She said her name.
I know, but we have to do this.
It's Penny. I just don't, there's a blank spot.
All right, we're gonna call it. We all got it. Lives to live. Anybody?
Kaylee Cuoco.
Yes.
I thought that was going to be a 5-pointer because that's really good.
It should have been. I absolutely could picture her immediately. Yeah.
I mean, you said Penny. You knew who it was.
I was like, I know it's theirs. You're going to get it.
Her name is Kibble McFarland. I just not going to get it.
All right, Tara.
Yes.
First show with 12 episodes is Tommy.
Next.
Second show with 19 episodes, Loving.
Next.
Third show with 23 episodes is Oz.
Edie Falco
is correct. Gosh. Give me those last two shows.
The Sopranos.
Number one.
Nurse Jackie.
Number two. Yes, two more coupons for you. Crystal, your actress was in 10 episodes of Dragnet. Not the original.
Oh, okay.
And not right. RuPaul's Dragnet.
RuPaul's Dragnet.
I'm going to need the next show.
Telenovela, 11 episodes.
Oh, right. That was the thing. No, I'm going to need the next one.
All right. This next show is called Mother Up! ! 13 episodes. Okay. Mother Up!
Oh, gosh.
Lock and load, Mother Up!
I never even heard of that. So no, the next one.
Next show, 180 episodes of Desperate Housewives.
Telenovela and Desperate Housewives. Is it Eva Longoria?
It is. One show she was in more than Desperate Housewives. Can you name it? That was 304 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
It's another soap, I bet.
It's either that or some like Lifetime show that I've never heard of.
That's yeah. True. Good point.
Army Wives or something? I don't know. I have no idea.
Tara was right. It's The Young and the Restless.
Okay.
Hyaluronic acid.
I should have asked my grandma. I know. Why did she say it like that?
This is our halfway point. After this, we'll go to our score break. It's for Sarah. Your number five show with 11 episodes is The Odd Couple. The Odd Couple. And again, this is not the original Odd Couple.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember who was in that. So next.
Karen's Song, 13 episodes.
Next.
The Love Boat, 19 episodes. I don't want to conjecture about that one, if that's the remake or not. I'm not sure.
The Love Boat. Next.
87 episodes of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Odd Couple, Karen's Song, The Love Boat, Lois and Clark.
Oh, God. Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
Hey.
Number one show is, with 180?
Desperate Housewives?
Yes, Desperate Housewives again.
Wow.
All right, that's halfway through. Let's see the scores.
Well,
and by see, I mean here.
Okay, Crystal and I are tied at the top with 8 each. Sarah has 4, but
I'm
this
also
could
here.
Change everything!
Kaylee Cuoco and I are also here. Kaylee Cuoco.
All right, we're going to do that weird card with the decades, Sarah. 3 out of 5. And remember, the innovation is, per Tara's request, we're going to start with the 90s, work our way back to the 50s. Okay, so you don't have to start with the 50s.
Okay, how many points do I get for...
3 or 6. 3 if you get 3, okay. 6 if you sweep.
Come on!
All right.
1990s. What famous movie actor starred in Evening Shade?
Burt Reynolds?
Yes.
Nice.
80s. What were the principal character names on The Golden Girls? First names.
The principal character names on The Golden Girls television program.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Dorothy, Rose, Sophia, and Blanche.
That is correct. All right. 70s. Who was the first black male to star in a series of his own?
70s?
And I think what they mean is maybe... I'm just going to give this additional piece of information because I'm not quite sure about the wording of this question. Self-titled.
Oh, like it was the blah, blah show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Yeah, not self-titled. But you know what I mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1970s.
Yeah, eponymous.
Eponymous.
Yes, thank
right.
you.
Right. Well, it's one of two guys.
You got to be careful with those because they got very big mouths and big teeth. And...
they are really dangerous
yeah,
in the wild.
They look cute. But...
eponymous.
Let's try Cosby. Bill Cosby show.
Incorrect. Flip Wilson, the Flip Wilson show.
Oh, Flip Wilson.
That's what it
is. All right. Still got 2 questions. You only need 1 of them to get 3 points.
Sarah, I believe in you.
60s.
Shouldn't.
What actress played Agent 99 in Get Smart?
Oh, what was her name? She was so cute.
Peggy something. Kaylee Cuoco? I don't know.
Barbara Feldon.
Barbara.
All right. 50s. Bob. Last chance.
Clem
decent Clem. Random chance to get it right, even if you have no idea.
Okay.
What color was the Lone Ranger's horse? Keep in mind what TV was like back then.
Yes. Well, despite being named one color, he was actually, white or gray? Gray.
I'm going to give you that one.
His name was Silver. It was a white horse.
Right.
All white horses are called gray horses. Did you know that? Little trivia for you.
Yeah.
We're going to give you that one. So that means 3 Yay. Points added to Sarah. Update the scores, please.
Okay, well now, Crystal and I are still tied with 8 points, but Sarah is barely behind with 7.
That's right. All right,
Exciting.
Close game. Let's get back to it. Tara.
Yeah.
Insatiable, 18 episodes.
Alyssa Milano.
Whoa, 5 points. All right. Big. Wow. There's 4 shows you haven't mentioned. Can you name them in any
okay.
order?
Okay. Melrose Place.
Yep. 40 episodes.
Who's the Boss?
Number 1, 196 episodes.
Charmed.
178 episodes. And you're missing the second least episoded show of hers.
Oh, they're all scripted, right?
They're all scripted.
Okay. Shit. What was she in?
I know you watched it.
Oh, is this Oh, I can't. I'm not going to remember. Oh, is it called Mistresses?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You were the one who kept watching that, too. Good for you.
I did.
Possible.
It all paid off.
It's impossible.
I really did.
Finally. Paying off. All right, Crystal. Your actress was in 20 episodes of Legion. Legion.
Aubrey Plaza?
It's not?
That's what I thought, too.
Going to use a coupon, I assume?
Yes, yep. Yes.
Okay.
Coupon.
Next show with 25 episodes is the show called 24. So Legion 24.
I never watched 24. So I only know Jack Bauer. Next show.
Samantha who? 35 episodes.
Is it Christina Applegate?
Not. Continue.
Okay, yes, please.
All right, 40 episodes as Kim Possible. Not as Kim Possible, in Kim Possible. One more show after this.
No, I'm going to need the last one.
All right, last one is with 120 episodes, Designing Women.
Kim Possible, Designing Women.
Her most recent show, not on the list, not enough episodes.
Hasn't been enough
on
episodes
the list.
Yet.
Oh. Oh, man. Why didn't I get this sooner? Is it Jean Smart?
Jean Smart, 1 point. Yep. Sarah, your actress, fifth show with 26 episodes is The Cleaner. The Cleaner.
Next.
Edgemont. 69 episodes. Nice.
Nice.
Edgemont.
Edgemont. Never heard of it. Sounds like a sequel or prequel to Longmire to me.
Yeah. Or somewhere in the Yellowstone universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next, please.
74 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, the more recent one.
Oh, God. What's her actual name? Donald McDonald. Mary McDonald. Is that a name?
Incorrect.
Okay. Coupon.
Also 74 episodes. A Million Little Things.
Oh, that you will never get this.
74 episodes?
You'll never get this.
No. All right. Next, I guess, if I'm allowed to keep playing.
Biggest show, 168 episodes of Hawaii Five-0. So The Cleaner, Edgemont, Battlestar Galactica, A Million Little Things, and Hawaii Five-0. What's the actress?
Oh, Grace Park. Why not?
Yes, Grace Park is good.
Oh my God.
One.
What?
It was. I'm so sorry. I said wow. You'd never get this.
Shows in your face with a single point.
You little faith. All right, Tara.
Wow. Yes.
33 episodes. The first show in your actresses is Date with Angels. What? Date with Angels.
Next.
40 episodes, Life with Elizabeth.
Betty White.
Betty White, yes.
What?
Three more shows.
Oh, right. Golden Girls.
Yep. Top show, 177.
Hot in Cleveland.
Second show, 124.
Fuck.
And 45 episodes of...
Mary Tyler Moore?
Yes, Mary Tyler Moore show, yes.
Dang it.
Done.
All right, Crystal.
Yes.
With 10 episodes, bare just meeting the minimum, it's Human Discoveries. Human Discoveries. Sounds like a show Sarah watches.
I've heard of them.
Heard of them, discovered.
Or found them, I guess. Yep.
So, next one.
All right. With 21 episodes, it's The Comeback.
Oh, should I guess here?
Yeah, you should.
You still have three coupons. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to guess Lisa Kudrow.
Yes, it is.
Woo!
Okay, now, thank you for telling me, Tara, because I did not keep
three
talking,
more so. Shows after the 21 episodes of The Comeback.
Okay,
what
Friends.
Are they? Friends? Obviously. Yes, 235. Friends.
What other things has she been in?
One I've never heard of, one I have. I think it has a lot of episodes thing. By virtue of being super cheap to make.
Yes.
Good, yes.
It did.
Any ideas what those other two are? Yeah, 24 episodes of one, 132 of another.
Wow. No, I'm not going to get it.
All right, Tara, do you know what that one I was talking about with a lot of episodes is?
Oh, I thought I did, but that's way too many. Is it? It's not Web Therapy, is
web
it?
Web Therapy, yes.
Oh, 132 web
episodes.
Wow.
Web Therapy.
Right.
The other show is called Housebroken.
Oh, no. Okay. Right.
Nope. Never heard of it.
It's an animated show, I think.
All right, Sarah. Townies. 15 episodes. Townies.
Hint.
The Mighty Ducks, : Game Changers, 20 episodes.
Yeah, no. Next.
Just canceled.
74 episodes of Vampirina.
Oh.
You know, It's like Orangina, but made from blood oranges.
Not orange. Oh, nice.
Cute. next.
Parenthood, 103 episodes.
Lauren Graham?
Lauren Graham is correct. One show left on the board. It is
Gilmore Girls.
Yes, it's good for a coupon. All right, everybody's last question is coming at you. Oh, let me get those scores, please. All
right. Okay, Sarah has 10. Crystal has 13. I have 17.
All right, here we go, Tara.
Yep.
Last chance for points.
Yep.
Your number one show, 13 episodes of The Good Wife. With a ton of coupons.
Just 13. Yeah, I do have a lot of coupons. Renee Elise Goldsberry.
15 episodes of Your Honor.
Maura Tierney.
30 episodes of Sneaky Pete.
Margot Martindale.
Yes, Margot there Martindale. It. Two shows left on the board, both with 34 episodes apiece.
Oh, shit. So, okay, so it's not justified. Fuck. Oh, The Americans.
34 episodes, as said. Yep. And the other 34 is? You're going to have to dig deep for this one.
Okay, well, I sense that's a pun, but I'm not getting
no,
it.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. It's like holes?
6 feet under.
I don't know what
she
the other
played
one
a chair? What?
The Millers.
Oh, The Millers, sure.
Oh, my God. That's that thing.
Sure.
All right, this is Crystal. It is question 17.
Ready to go.
Your first show with 36 episodes to date is The Conners.
How many do I have of little hint things? Do
four.
I have any?
You got four. Okay. You can run this whole thing.
You can.
Yeah. Well, now I have to think of the actor's name. So that's the problem.
All right. First hint with 36 episodes is The Conners. The Gutters.
Laurie Metcalf?
Conners.
Laurie Metcalf. Not correct. Your second show, jumping quite a bit, 76 episodes, is Eight Simple Rules.
But it's not Kaylee Cuoco, because she's already been in this game.
Oh, is it Katie Sagal?
It is Katie Sagal, yes. All right, so you don't need more coupons, but let's play it out. What are the next three shows that she was in more?
Futurama is one of them.
Futurama is one of them. That is the number two show with 125.
Married with Children?
Number one show, 259. And there's one right in the middle of this list here.
Oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, perfect.
Nicely done.
Nicely done. All right, last question of regulation for Sarah. How to live with your parents, .. What's the rest of that title?
Without losing your mind or something?
Yeah, without trying to kill them or something like that. Yeah. All right, how to live with your parents.
How to live with your parents as an ungrateful jerk of a child.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't remember who was in that. So Jennifer Grey, why not?
All right.
Coupon.
Paradise PD, 30 episodes.
Now you're just making shit up. Next.
Rick and Morty, 61 episodes.
Oh, Christ. God. Next.
Roseanne, 73 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Is this this is the most or the second most?
Second most. One more left.
Is this Sarah Chalk?
Yes, and the number one would therefore be
Scroobs.
Scroobs, 173
Hey,
episodes.
I got a Scrubs question.
Yeah!
That's regulation. Nice. Final scores, please, Tara.
Okay, Sarah finished with 12 points. Crystal, 17. I had 20.
Ooh, close game. Well fought, everybody.
Tara.
Me.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode.
Sorry, Kayla Cuoco.
Extra hot. Great. I'm sorry. Should I stop? Do you want to commiserate? We had a hard look at The Company You Keep before going around the dial with stops at Canadian Hotel TV, Hunters, The 12th Victim, and Picard. Mademoiselle Caroline didn't have enough leverage to get the pilot the Nigerian job into the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time from Potsy is Fine. Next up, we've got Ball Sort Watercolor Puzzle on Extra Extra Hot Great and Party Down Revival Season 3 next week, right here with Mark Lazanti. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariana,
Bones,
Sarah D. Bunting,
stealing for other people sucks,
and Crystal Farmer,
stones all day.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Grate.
You know the best part about Happily Ever After?
I don't know, discovering that it actually exists.
You don't know what comes next.
I'll reiterate, F-U.
Ha, 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 ha,